without Prince is not a good day. That's what we know, right, Chris?
Oh, man, I could let that ride the whole 30 minutes.
We can just put it on shuffle and record that, and that's a show. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Drive Through HR. Brian is traveling today. It is Nisha and I holding down the fort, and we have a wonderful guest, one of the friends of the show, Christopher Fields, Chris Fields, to most of you. Chris, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, Brian. How are you guys doing, Brian? I'm sorry. William, Nisha, how are you guys doing today?
we all look alike. Guys, tip your waitresses. All right, Chris, so you and Nisha and I have already kind of figured out how this thing is going to flow. It's going to fly by. We got like 90 things to cover. First things first, though, we never want to assume that people know who we are and who our guests are. So back up, break it down, tell the audience who you are, kind of how you intersect with HR and what you do for a living.
All right. Well, for those who do not know me, I'm Chris Fields. I have two websites. CostaWork.com, which is the first one, and then the newly launched ResumeCrusade.com. I have a master's in HR from Ohio State University, and I've been on the social media circuit channels, atmosphere for about 2.5, almost 3 years now, connecting, creating opportunities, working with SHRM, and doing all these other different things, blogging for different websites like SmartRecruiters.com and PerformanceIcreate.com and JobSite.com and, guest blogging on some other sites as well. So I've been really doing a lot of work out here, and I really enjoy it, and I've been a guest on this show a few times, and I appreciate each and every time you guys allow me to come on and say my little spiel. Thank you so much.
No worries. And you put out wonderful content. You make us all smarter. What is top of mind for you these days? What's keeping you up at night today?
You know, I love the question. I always say that I love the question. But I try not to let anything keep me up. But I have to admit that lately it's just how to use social media with the conferences to increase value. I've been thinking about that a lot. I met you originally or the first time at Illinois SHRM last August. And then during that experience, I got to talk to you for a little bit with some other people. And I pretty much just noticed the way things were working, and it kind of sparked something. So I've had the opportunity to go to other conferences and just kind of observe the social media side of it and the interaction with HR and try to make that a better process and a better situation. And even the ones I don't go to and get a chance to watch the back channels on Twitter and Facebook, I try to look and see what would I want from an attendee standpoint. So what's been keeping me up, now that I'm working very closely with the good folks of Middle Tennessee SHRM, which is Nashville SHRM, on the Tennessee State Conference, which is in about 10 days from now, what's been keeping me up here the last month or so is how do I increase that attendee experience and make it worth it to them? How do I bridge that gap? Because believe it or not, a lot of smart and savvy people are not online or they're not used to this. So, you have to meet them where they are, and creating strategies to do that has been on my mind a lot.
Well, that's great, Chris. It's been a great pleasure meeting you at Oklahoma SHRM Conference, and we had the opportunity to work with the social media team over there. So I would like to know more details about your great initiative that you're planning to do at Tennessee SHRM Conference from a social media perspective. I know we have all been to a lot of other conferences. You have learned so much from attending those conferences. So what have you planned to do at this year Tennessee SHRM Conference from a social media front?
Well, Nisha, meeting you in Oklahoma was really nice. I had a great time talking with you. You're a great person to just talk to and get to know, so I want to say that to you. But so I learned a lot from that conference and others, and what we want to do is we want to try to use some new things. Like now you have the Instagram video. We want to kind of use that in some way. We want to use different techniques to kind of bring the attendees into the social sphere to make them want to get online and see, you know, maybe videos or pictures of themselves. So we're going to do some learn to tweet things and learn to be social initiatives to start the conference off so they can use that information throughout the conference. We're also going to have a Q&A. And I have to say, let me backtrack just a second and say that I have a great team. We have put together a great team, and I need to really acknowledge them because it's been a long process, and they've stuck it out and hung in there with me. And when I talk about the team, I mean the social media team for the Tennessee Sherm. It's myself, Lynn Hoy, who is really the mastermind behind it. She's been working hard for years to try to get this to happen, and it's finally coming to fruition. But then also we have Mike Hamberman is on the team, Dave Ryan, Melissa Fairman, and Justin Harris, the unlikely guy. He's relatively new, but he's a local product of Nashville. So we have a team of people who are looking to put on a great experience. They're looking to do things to show the value. So I wanted to make sure that when we put the team together, we put people on the team who will be focused on the candidate experience. Because, you know, William and I have talked about this before. Whenever you get a social personality together, we're going to have a good time. That's going to happen. So you don't have to focus on, are we going to have a good time? You really focus on what can we do to bring the attendees into it and make them feel like they're part of it. So we're going to do some learn to tweet stuff. We're going to do Q&A. We're going to do a panel discussion. And we're just going to go out and interact with the attendees and ask them what it is that they're there for and what they're looking to do and just kind of interact with them and bring them into the whole social light a little bit as well. So, and I'm sure there's going to be some impromptu things. You know, like I said, the team is great. They got a lot of ideas, and I told them once we get to Nashville that we're going to kind of do a quick power session and talk about some ideas that they may have and implement those too. So it's going to be a great time, and I'm really excited about it.
Yes, it is. I can see all the great work that you do around the inner web. Like you post a lot of visual content, like videos, the four questions with the social media team. That is such a fantastic idea to introduce the social media team to the audience, to the attendees, so that they can meet and connect with them. So this is amazing.
Yeah, you know, thank you for bringing it up. I did forget about that. But that actually came from the Oklahoma. When we were in Oklahoma, we were there, and some people kind of thought we were part of the registration team. And I thought, well, there needs to be a better way to let them know who we are ahead of time. And so, you know, video is starting to get really big now with Vine and with the Insta video thing. So I thought it would be something that people would be comfortable with looking at video. So we came up with the four questions, and each member of the team answered four questions about HR and social media and then conference volunteering, and we put that up on the website and shared that. And it's got a really great response, especially Dave Ryan, who created this fantastic video with music, and he had animation in it. You know, he really kind of set the bar pretty high. So it brought a lot of excitement and attention to it. And so, yeah, that was another great thing that really helped out. So thank you for reminding me about that. I did forget about that one.
You know, what's funny, Chris, is, you know, you said meeting them where they are, which is a fantastic kind of concept in life. Instead of trying to change people, you basically meet them where they are, and you're going to get a bigger uptick. And that's not only in social. That's probably in a lot of things in life. How do you deal with that in a, kind of a, on a professional level, and also the work that you do in resumes? Like the resume crusade, but also the work that you do there, it isn't just about, at that point, meeting them where they are. It's about getting them to understand that there's other forces at play. How do you reconcile kind of those two worlds?
Well, I approach them differently, even though they're similar. And when I get a situation that comes from the resume crusade, so if an opportunity comes my way, I examine it and see, first of all, does it make sense for me to do it, and can I add something to it? I don't like to just say yes to something if I don't think I can add something to it. So I try to look at the project as one-on-one. Like, you know, I try to take the project as it comes and examine it. Like, can I add some value to that? Can I bring something new to the table. You know, when I write for smart recruiters, a lot of times they'll ask me to write something, and it's been approached before. It's been talked about before on the internet. You know, nothing's new under the sun. So what I try to do is, you know, think about how can we put a slightly different spin or give this something that any other article that you may Google doesn't quite have that same approach to it. And I do the same thing with resumes. I do the same thing with the conferences, you know, trying to come up with different ways. And it's all kind of you borrow a little bit, or you take somebody's idea and you take it to the next level. Our good friend Craig Fisher, you know, Fish Dog, he sends out these memes on Instagram and Facebook when he has something going on, and he'll say, meet this person at so-and-so. And I thought that was great. So, you know, I borrowed that idea. But with the video, I wanted to take it to the next level. So, you know, I just take each project and I ask myself, is it something that I can intelligently speak to or talk about? And then how can we take that to the next level? But then the part about meeting people where they are, everyone is different. So, you know, if someone comes to me with anything, even if it's just a resume client, I try to examine what their resume currently is or what their career level is and what they're looking for, and I try to help them get to the next level. So it's all about examining, analyzing, and asking, you know, what does this person really need from me, or what does this project need from me, or what can I bring to this project? And that's how I kind of approach all these different things.
Let's while we have the opportunity, let's dig into Resume Crusade for just a second. Why did you feel compelled to start another website? Why do you think it's important? And what are you trying to achieve? Ultimately, trying to achieve with Resume Crusade.
So, a good friend of mine, you may have heard of him. His name is William Pinkup. He and I had a conversation, and I was kind of waffling with the resume thing because I've always been concerned about being labeled as one thing or another, you know, whatever it is. I just didn't want to be labeled as a guy that only blogs or a guy that only does resumes. But getting some great advice about, do I love what I do? You know, do I like doing it? Does it add value? How do I feel about the work? And when I thought about the resumes, I thought, I do like doing them. It's a challenge. There's so many different careers out here. I've learned so much. So when I answer those questions about I like doing it and it's rewarding financially and it's rewarding from an internal, you know, value standpoint, I said, you know what? I need to go with this. And then I just felt like it deserved its own platform. And I felt like it was, when I researched some of the other resume writers out there, and I all due respect to them, but I didn't feel like anybody was relatable. I didn't feel like anybody was that guy you know. I didn't feel like any of those guys that writing resumes was someone you could, you know, email and say, hey, I need to talk to you for a few minutes about this. And so I feel like I had I had something I can add to that situation. So I decided to go with the website, and it's been fantastic because, again, I thought I would be limiting myself to only resume opportunities, but it has opened up so many other doors for other things. People have contacted me to do different things and to be part of different things, and it has really opened my eyes up to where this could take me if I just go with it. So I really embraced it, and to answer your question about the end game of it, I want to keep bringing the best, freshest approach to the resume game until it gets to the point where there's nothing else to do with it. And I know that sounds probably very general and very broad, but right now I think one thing that I do exceptionally well that the others do not do is that I don't just create a resume full of a lot of words and a lot of, you know, just overflown wording, just a lot of nothing. I try to give the value that the person has and what they can bring to the position. Like, you know, when a job applicant is looking for a job and a company has a job opening, they have a problem they need to be filled and fixed. So I try to make the resume speak to how this person can fix your problem. And not just is this person, you know, a person that can just do duties, but they can actually add value. And you'll be surprised at how many people, no matter what your job is, no matter what you do, you get them talking about what they've done. They have done things that add value, that save money, that brings in money, that makes the job better. And it without fail, I've never interviewed anybody who has not at some point added some value to their company and hadn't realized it. Real quick story. I talked to a lady last week, and she was throwing up, I did this for 100%, this for 100%. I said, well, what does 100% mean? And she broke it down. She realized she was saving her company $700,000 annually. And the funny thing about this, she was like, I've never looked at it like that. I never thought about it like that. So I just want to keep doing it and helping people get the job that they really want and they deserve, especially the fact that there are a lot of skilled people who resume just don't reflect this. So I like doing it.
Well, this is actually cool, Chris. And I must say, it's not just as a general concept as you just mentioned. Well, it is actually you being a subject matter expert there, or you being a good person for this resume and career advice, which is so amazing. And as you said, you help people find a job that deserves them. So my question is, you know, there is a lot of controversial topic or thoughts that is happening. Like, oh, do I need somebody else, a third person, to prepare my resume? How can he know about my profile or the work that I did? So did you have any kind of a challenges like that in the beginning, and how did you tackle that?
Well, in the beginning, the ones I was receiving were not that good, so it was easy to make them better. But as I started to get more talented people who had invested some time in a resume, they forced me to look harder and get better at resume writing. So, you know, if you guys know me, I don't just do anything on a whim. So I took some time, went to the library, got some books. I ordered some books, started reading. I talked to a lot of the people that we're connected to and asked them, what are you seeing? A lot of the recruiters, you know, what are you seeing? What do you like? What do you don't like? And I started taking the information. I started, you know, trying to figure out ways to include that in my process to make resumes better. But like you guys said, it's not just resumes. Next week, I'm going to be launching a new series called The Recruiter's Corner, and it's a video blog. So it's a video thing where I interview recruiters and ask them questions and try to get their perspective, because I want the resume crusade to not just be one voice telling you one thing. I want people to know the information that they're getting is from, you know, a reliable source with a network of recruiters. So that's the next step. I'm going to get more into the video thing and do some. I have two recorded already, and one's going to go up next week, and then the one after that. I'm going to have three more guests lined up for that. So we're going to stretch it just beyond how do you create a kick-ass resume. We're going to take it into, you know, what to screen for, what recruiters like, what they don't like. We're going to talk about, you know, creative resumes, do they really work, social resumes, social recruiting. We're going to go beyond, and we're going to talk about applicant tracking systems and things like that too, because I don't think people really understand how that whole process works, and I know there's so many of them that each one works slightly different, but we want to give people the best information so they can cast a broad net. So, you know, I'm definitely thinking of ways to not just talk about creating the resumes, but other sides of the job search and the job market and recruiting and branding, which is something I'm going to be talking about later tonight. But branding and the whole job search and adding a marketing piece, you know, to your job description, and then for individuals to their resume. So it's a big world. It's a lot to play in.
Chris, let's dig into resumes for just a second. And I love the idea of the Recruiter's Corner. That's basically the end audience for a lot of your customers is the hiring manager, HR, recruiters, et cetera. These are the people sitting over, you know, basically I always envision people sitting over a shredder, you know, when they receive a paper resume, that they're just sitting over the shredder, and you either give them the reason to keep the resume or a reason to shred the resume. What's the three things that you see right now? What are two or three things that you just know everyone hates? Like, and it's just simple stuff, but you know what? If you're out there and you've been working, you might not be up to date, quote unquote, on the resume game. I'm just assuming you're not. I didn't have a resume personally. I didn't have a resume for 12 years. And then it had to be, I was put in a situation where I had a client ask me for a resume, and then I had to go and create one. So what are the two or three things that you advise people? It's like, okay, let me see your resume. Okay, there's a couple things here. We can't have this type of stuff, et cetera. What does that look like?
Well, the three biggest things, one is the name. One thing that kind of irks me is when the name is the absolute biggest thing on the resume and the contact information is really small. That kind of, every time I see that, I'm thinking, I fix that. But then also formatting. No, people don't really have a format. I think they try to highlight their skills and they think they're creating a hybrid resume or they're using the best thing that they think works. But you have to realize you never know how savvy or unsavvy someone's going to be looking at your resume. So you need to create a resume that works for your that works best for your career and for the audience and also to you. So that's one. And then the last thing, I see a lot of dates from early 90s and 80s. And I know that may sound weird, but if you have work that you've done in the 80s, it probably shouldn't be on your resume at this point because no one's going to really had things that's valuable, 30 years ago. So old dates, formatting, and then just having the name so large, those are things that I think people need to change right away. And, of course, remove the objections. Just don't.
All right. Let me ask you what might be a controversial subject, might not. What's your take on pictures on the resume?
If you're in the traditional job market looking for an office job, stay away from that. If you're a model or if you're in something where, you need that, then maybe, But if you're looking for, IT job or administrative job, something like that, you don't really need to put that on there. But I do find it interesting that we do want to see a picture on the LinkedIn profile. Like, you don't want it on the resume, but we want it on that LinkedIn profile. If you don't have a picture on your LinkedIn profile, then, there's some suspicion there. So not on your resume, but on your LinkedIn profile if you just want to have a picture somewhere.
Here's my take. I think whatever advantages that you have, this is William speaking, not a resume expert, I would tell you. I think whatever advantages you have, your undergraduate was, William and Mary, play it up. You scored a 1600 on the SAT, play it up. If you're hot, and I don't care what job you're applying for, but if you're hot, I am not hot. If you're hot, you should put that shit on your resume. I'm of the belief.
Because I have a view on that too. Like if I was a hot female, there's really no telling what my resume would look like really, but we'll talk about that next time we hang out.
Yeah, hot doesn't necessarily mean female. I mean, Ryan Estes, one of the most gorgeous guys I've ever been around. He, in my opinion, if I were working with Ryan on his resume, I'd have his photo on the resume. So again, I'm not making this about gender. I'm personally whatever it takes. Because I'm still, and again, this might be a 1980s concept, I'm still thinking that they're evaluating my resume over the shredder. And so anything that gets me the interview, because in the interview, I'll do whatever I got to, but I guess still got to get the interview. So whatever my advantage is, and if it looks like, see, I'm sarcastic. Sarcastic doesn't come across on the resume.
It's very funny, but so you play to your strengths. I get that, but sometimes I talk to recruiters and other people, and I say, "What do you think about creative resumes when people put pictures or images, or it's not in the traditional format, it's colorful or whatever?" And they don't like it. It may be humorous, it may be entertaining, we may share it around the office as a joke, but it won't get to the next level. So I think it depends on your career field and what you're trying to do. If you're really trying to get that job, then unfortunately, you got to take the pictures off. But, unless, again, you're a model, like if you're like J. Coons, if you got a smile like J. Coons, you might want to put that thing everywhere. Just play it up like you said. But other than that, you want to stay away. But again, this is a great conversation that we'll have one day over a drink or two.
Okay, so now we have a lot of things. Like we have resume, we have LinkedIn, and we have a lot of other social profiles as well. But to our audience, to help them, you know, what do recruiters really looking from a resume? How do you differentiate that a resume and a LinkedIn profile?
They're looking to see if you can meet at least 80% of their requirements. That's what they want. They want a resume that's easy to read, it doesn't have a whole lot of extra wording in it, that doesn't make them search too hard for it. They want to see almost immediately within 10 seconds that you have at least 80% of what they want so they can put you in the yes pile. That's what they want. So they want it quick, they want it fast, and they want it good looking. And that's what we try to give them.
Nice. Chris, we've got about 3 minutes left in the show. I want to do a couple things here because you blog at a lot of different places, et cetera. Draw people back to where you, and let's not speed through it, where you blog, how people can get in touch with you.
All right. So right now I'm really focusing on the ResumeCrusade.com website. I also have CostOfWork.com, but I only usually write there once a week. And then performance.create.com, the multi-contributed site that we set up a blog on. That one has new content going up from everybody almost daily, I believe now. We got something every day. And then I write for Smart Recruiters on occasion. I think a new article is coming out from them today about talent branding. And just a quick plug, tonight I'll be on T-Chat Radio talking about recruiting, marketing, and resumes. So it's a big day today, and I'm happy about it. And then also, my big reason for being on today was to talk about Tennessee Churn. So that's coming up on the 15th through the 18th. We'll be in Nashville. Check out the hashtag TNChurn13.
And, Chris, I missed it, but your Twitter hashtag or the Twitter ID is?
Twitter is at new resource, NEW_RESOUR. And, I'm on LinkedIn, Christopher Fields. I'm everywhere. I mean, pretty much I'm all over the place.
How does your resume look?
Funny question. I had to update it last week, and I had to update my LinkedIn profile last week. That's a very good question. But yeah, I had to update it last week.
Do you find that yours is the kind of more advanced, or is yours a little bit, but if you shoe cobbler, you know, that whole cliche?
Mine is a little untraditional because I just put into terms that if somebody wants to hire me, they need to understand who I am and what I write and what I write about. That's really my resume, my writing. So I focus on my resume about things I've done socially with social media, with CHRM. And if that doesn't make sense for someone, if someone is, like, not into the CHRM or not into social media, then you need to put my resume to the side of the side. You're not going to get it, and you're not going to think I'm valuable. And I'm okay with that because I want people who want to work with me, to work with me. I don't want anybody who needs convincing or who needs to have some preponderance of evidence to work with me. I want people who are like, you know what, I like this guy, I want to know more about this guy. And I'm in a position where I can do that. So lucky about that.
Fantastic. Chris, you're one of my favorites. If there's ever anything I can do for you, please holler. Y'all, we've had a wonderful drive through HR. Please keep up with Chris Fields. We came in with one of Chris's inspirations in his life. We will go out with one of mine. Everyone have a wonderful day, and thanks for listening.
Thanks for that.
Okay, so guitar. Okay, so let's start with this. What's your name?
Cutie.
Where are you going? Who are you going with?
Left my wallet in El Segundo. I gotta get it. I left my wallet in El Segundo. Left my wallet in El Segundo.